Lucy, I'm home.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I am your host, Erica.
And I'm Lucy.
And today is sort of like a buffer between season one and two. We're doing a movie review of the movie that started it all, really. I mean, this movie made it possible for us to even fast forward to having a podcast. Think about that. Oh, my gosh. We are going to be reviewing Too Many Girls, the 1940s Too Many Girls, where Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz met. So Before I give you the plot or the synopsis or description, give me a word to describe this film for you. Just having what? Well, first of all, was this the first time you watched it ever? Yeah. Okay, give me a word.
Typical?
Okay.
I'll explain. After the summary or before?
Let me give you the summary. So this was released in 1940. And
you didn't see your word.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
Cheesy.
Okay.
Yes, cheesy. But again, we'll both explain why. So this, of course, stars, like we said, Desi Arnaz and Lucille Ball. And, so, you know, they're not each other's romantic interests in the film. So that's kind of cool. So a young lady goes to college, and without her knowledge, her father sends four football players as her bodyguards, as one does, who eventually join the college team, turn it into one of the best, while one of the players falls in love with her while watching her. That's a very short synopsis of the whole thing, because, you know, I don't want to do what I do sometimes in the episodes, just give the whole thing away. So it's a short one, but it's a American musical comedy that was directed by George Abbott that was made from the Broadway musical. And that first, Desi Arnaz was on this musical, you know, before he made his way to Hollywood to do the movie version, where he did meet Lucille Ball. And this was purchased by RKO Pictures. So why typical?
It is the typical, I don't know, I feel like I am using your word, like the typical corniness of the time.
Mm-hmm.
That makes any sense? Like, it's just, it's, you expect it. It's predictable.
Yeah.
It's not.
And unrealistic.
Yeah.
In some parts.
Oh, yeah. But it, also,
all the films are.
I didn't hate it. I was like, this is cute.
It's cute.
Yeah. I was like you said, it's not going to win any Oscars. It didn't win any Oscars. It was just, it was one of those that's like, I could see myself sitting down if I just want to feel good. Don't have to think about it movie, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, I think if you were to watch 10 films from the 40s in a row that included musical scenes, by the way, this had a lot of songs in it, you would get something similar to this. So it was very on brand for the 1940s, I think. Yeah, we have, you know, we do meet Van Johnson in this, but when I say meet, I mean blink and you miss him, because he's not even credited here, but he did go on the Super Chief with Desi Arnaz from, you know, the Broadway version of it. And that's probably where their lifelong friendship started. And he was his stand-in on the Broadway version of this story.
Like Eddie Brecken was JoJo.
Mm-hmm. Gordon. Yes.
This is like his only on-screen appearance with the two of them, but he was part of the Broadway cast. And he was a friend of the Arnaz's off screen. He was a friend of theirs as well. So that was pretty cool.
And then we have, so the characters are the four football players. We have mm-hmm. Clint Kelly, who was supposed to go to Princeton. JoJo Jordan, who's supposed to go to Harvard. Al Terwilliger, who's supposed to go to Yale. And then Manuelito Lynch. Now, I have a question about Desi Arnaz's character. He's from Argentina and he was accepted to all the schools. I mean, everybody wanted him. I don't know if it was addressed or not, but was he adopted?
I mean, they said he's from the South, so I think
because they said he speaks about his hometown being Argentina, and it's clear that he's got a, you know, Spanish name. So I'm just one. I didn't address it, but the last name was Lynch, so I'm just asking if he's adopted. It was just never
maybe. Definitely not brought up in the movie. So. No.
And okay, so. Of course, Okay. So it starts off with the boys kind of, the first thing that stood out to me is how young Desi looks.
I know.
He looks like a kid. And they start off by talking about their upcoming football careers. Mm-hmm. And he's a little conceited, but not conceited about how great he is as a football player.
He says, "I'm not conceited. I'm the best football player in 50 years, but I'm not conceited."
And of course, one of his biggest gripes is the lack of women that they've had around them in the last few years.
Tired of men.
Mm-hmm. And so the school that they are supposed to be going to is probably an all boys school. Mm-hmm. And they're not happy about that. When we cut to Harvey Casey, he's the father. He's, you know, a very rich man who's $7.50 more richer than Henry Ford.
Yeah, he just comes in. He's like, "I'll give you $100 to leave this open until 10. I mean, imagine just throwing around money, like, "I'll give you $100.
In the 40s.
$1,000.
That's a lot of money. So he has, you know, kind of a well-to-do way about him where, you know, everybody knows that he's a, you know, wealthy man in town. And these boys are there, the four boys are, and he needs someone to kind of keep an eye on his daughter, to keep track of his daughter, because
he had one, right? And she slipped away from him.
Yeah. He fired him. Yeah. Now the daughter, who's played by Lucille Ball, was deported from Switzerland for her wild ways. And they don't exactly say what those wild ways are, but it sounds like she's very boy crazy.
Well, she did say that, like, or the father did say that she like ran into a pontoon.
Oh yes.
Where they were giving a speech on safety.
Yeah, that's true.
And I was like, that seems like a Lucille Ball thing to do.
Yeah, very much.
A Lucy Ricardo thing to do.
And yeah. So he's trying to get someone to keep an eye on her because she's just a mess. And her name is Consuelo and nicknamed Connie.
Which that seemed like such a strange name, didn't it not?
It did.
Human. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's, I did have to do a double take to check, make sure I was hearing that right, because I thought somehow it was connected to Desi's character, but no, it's just her name. And she shows up, gets out of the car, and this is the first time that Desi's character, Manuelito, sees her, and he faints because she's lovely.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that scene.
And what's funny here is the backstory is this is where, as we mentioned, Desi and Lucy met. And when he first met her, she, you know, they were like in the commissary of RKO, and she was kind of all bruised up from the previous filming Dance Girl Dance. And she had a bruise and her, you know, hair was askew and her slit on her dress. And he wasn't attracted to her at all. In fact, when they told him, you know, this is the girl who's going to play the lead, he wanted to get her removed because he thought that she wasn't, you know, up to par to play the role. And then later on, when she comes in looking dazzling,
gorgeous,
then she probably looked like she did in that scene, you know, pulling up in a car. And he's, you know, that's a hunk of a woman is what he says. And so that's how they met. And like, I think they married, 6 months later after that, you know, just really, really
very quick.
Mm-hmm.
And she was engaged at this time.
Oh, yes.
I can't remember his name because.
Well, neither could she. So they.
He had a long-term girlfriend, or like he had a girlfriend at that time as well, right? They were both.
Oh, and
seeing people.
Relationships. He sees her. She gets out of the vehicle. You know, she's like this. She's think of the Paris Hilton of the 40s, just an heiress, just a rich heiress walking around being rich and pretty. mean, and, you know, she said, "Can someone come help the waiter faint it outside?" So he faints, you know, and she comes in to tell her father that she doesn't want to go to Vassar, where they thought she was going to go to school.
Right. Well, I mean, to be fair, he didn't even think she was going to go to school.
Yeah.
That's right. True. Like, mm-hmm. He'd kind of given up hope.
Yeah.
And she came home unexpectedly and was like, nope, I'm not going to there. I'm going to, you say it.
Potawatomi.
Yep, good. I couldn't remember.
It's a Native American name or a tribe.
Potawatomi.
And, yeah. And that one is located at Stop Gap, New Mexico. Forgive me for being ignorant, but is that an actual place?
A Potawatomi. There is a Potawatomi, Oklahoma. But
I know there's not a school, but Stop Gap. Is that a city? Is that a town? Is that a place? Stop Gap, New Mexico.
Oh.
Or is that fictional?
Not while we talk.
Okay. So he looks at her like, why all of a sudden do you want to go to that school? Is there a man involved? Which is what made me say, you know, that she's very boy crazy, because the only motivation she would have is to go to that school is perhaps because there's a man involved. She says, you know, there was a man, but there is no longer. He's gone. So, which of course ends up being not true. But,
right.
You know, here's where you probably notice the typical that you were mentioning is he's like, what man or something. And she leaves the living room onto the porch, very Grease-like, when, you know, Olivia Newton-John starts to sing about John Travolta, and she just starts singing in the porch. Nobody's out there until like later on the boys show up, but it's just funny because she left her father's conversation and could do this number.
But listen, all musicals are like that. All musicals, you're like, what? Why?
What? Can you just answer the question?
Yeah.
Yes. And so she, of course, it's dubbed. It's very obviously dubbed. It's not her voice. Was it a real place?
No.
Not a real place.
Okay. If you look it up, all of it is
movie related.
Mini Girls, yeah.
Yeah.
So who dubbed her voice again?
They did do that for most of her films. I think maybe towards the later films, they do allow her voice. But most of the B movies that she was in were all dubbed of her singing voice.
Her voice was dubbed by Trudy Irwin.
And so the four football players are watching her, you know, kind of dreamy-eyed.
Sleepily, you know. Watching
and watching her sing. And because she is so pretty, they all, well, here's this part that we totally skipped, is that the father, you know, had a proposition for them. Why don't you just quit college altogether and you can just watch my daughter for $50 a week?
Yeah. But, well, he didn't say the exact price at that time, but it was weird because he does ask him to like just leave college. And then once she's done singing, all four of them drop out of college.
Yeah.
Or their college that they were going to go to follow this girl.
She's of course, just so pretty.
As soon as they do that and they agree, then he mentions the no romance clause.
The anti-romantic clause that they have to sign. Like, you can't.
Hands you can't, off.
Yeah, hands off the subject.
Yeah, basically. And
they make it very, very, well, first of all, they're upset about that because they're all, you know, they all very much like her. And so, like you said, it's just so, you have to suspend the reality of these four boys, men just said, we don't need college. We will be bodyguards instead. She goes off to school and they're very obvious about the way they're watching her. There's nothing discreet about the way they go about watching her. And, you know, she can feel it because she's probably used to it.
Yeah, it was weird. But what I had a trouble with, well, maybe, I mean, we're there, we're at school. I don't know, but like when I saw the architecture of New Mexico, the school that was in New Mexico, I was like, they probably would have just had a normal school.
It wouldn't be like very stereotypical Native American.
Yeah, I feel like they looked up like traditional New Mexico. Like, you know, it just seemed like they were trying too hard. You know what I'm saying?
Or how about that part when they're on the bus to get to the school and she pulls over and she says, you know, like, hey, boy, mail this for me to the Native American man and son.
And just, yeah.
you know, I mean, of course, like this is the 40s. So the way that they handled certain stereotypes or certain ethnicities or races are different than they are handled today. So a lot of it is maybe shocking for people to watch in 2020 eyes. But this is pretty much how, I mean, probably a lot worse too in a lot of other films. But this one, she's just like beckons the Native American boy to mail it off for her, to her boyfriend, of course.
Who lives apparently only 8 miles down the road from the school. And that's why she's there, not to go to school.
Right, right.
They're being really creepy. But soon, okay, the school isn't open when the three show up.
Mm-hmm.
Three of them show up because they hadn't paid utilities.
Right.
And so
they're out of money. That's
the school. Mm-hmm. Manuelito. Yeah. He goes to the other team. He's like, why don't we just pay for it? It's $300 for them to just open the gates.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, and then, you know, tuition money, things will get better, but we can at least get in. And he collects the money and says, you know, I would be glad to open the school up. So he doesn't even mention that the other two had chipped in money.
Yeah.
He becomes like this instant hero.
Right.
To all the girls. And there are like too many girls. They end up saying
there's so many girls.
10 girls to a boy in the college.
What's again the sign of the times? So then the next scene is where she's pledging to be part of a sorority in the school. And you know, the leader is asking, what is your ultimate goal? To find a man.
yay,
so you made it in, you know. And so that's it's really all it took. What this school has is every girl there is wearing a beanie, which symbolizes something, more much like sometimes, you know, girls will wear a ring or wear a necklace or something that symbolizes, I suppose, virginity. Is that what they're trying to say?
I don't know. You know, because, I was like, I probably
because they danced around it.
Hmm?
They danced around it quite a bit.
And they said that like they wouldn't neck, but she obviously would. All of them did anyways. So like it wasn't helpful.
And when a girl walks by that doesn't have one, he's like, oh, that's a divorcee. So is that implying something that can't be said in the 40s in a film? Or maybe it could, but I took it as a sign of that. Or just...
Was they're single and ready to mingle?
Or just not necking. I'm not sure. Oh, well, yeah. A girl walks by. She doesn't have a beanie. And he points out that that's a divorcee. And then they all freak out because then Lucy's character, Connie, walks out of the sorority, you know, house. And she's not wearing hers. And like, what happened? See, again, that's why my mind went where it went, because it's like, what do they think that she did? And someone says, you forgot your beanie. And she's like, oh, sorry. And so they all like sigh relief.
Well, yeah, it could be that. She ends up meeting her boyfriend. That's where we meet.
Beverly Waverly.
Yeah, we're skipping over some of the dance scenes, but they're just dancing. So.
Oh, no, I purposely didn't even write down the dance scenes because there's so much of it and it feels unnecessary. It feels like lot of filler time. In fact, there was a review that was written back then and I didn't, but they pointed out how the middle of it kind of took a nosedive. Like it was a good film. Oh, do you? Yeah.
You do. Give me 1 second.
And that was probably what they were referring to because, you know, it was a good movie overall, except in the middle, it kind of, you know, took a nosedive and enough with the music in the center.
Yeah. It says a pleasant, lighthearted, and wholly ingenious campus film, but the director, George Abbott, has permitted it to sag in the middle, at which point the thin spots badly show. If the intention was to be impressive, it has failed. Mm-hmm. For Too Many Girls is a simple, conventional, rah-rah picture without any place for pretense, and there's not enough to it on the whole for Mr. Abbott to squander dancers recklessly. So yeah, lots of dancing.
Lots of dancing, lots of singing. And you know, they did showcase Desi's bongo playing abilities, or yeah, it was unnecessary for a lot of it. You know, even when I think he was towards the end, she's introducing who she really is and she goes into song. It's unnecessary. But anyway, so she's, her motivation for going to the school is, of course, a guy. And the guy is Beverly Waverly, who's played by Douglas Walton. He's an author. And so from what I can tell, it looks like an older man. I'm not sure if that was supposed to be the look, but it kind of felt that way. So she's sneaking around, and as she's being watched by Clint, he's like, oh my God, she's here with another guy. Yeah, it's really weird because it's not a random spot you show up at, but he does do that a lot.
I don't know why they were so worried about her having a boyfriend other than they couldn't see her.
Perhaps that was part of the agreement with the father to not let her have a boyfriend. Although I did write down, throughout all the singing and the romancing and the spying, not a lot of schoolwork going on at that school.
Like, she throws, she's the only one doing calculus. Yeah, no one else with any work.
That's right. And yeah, and it's only mentioned maybe once that she's late for something, but yeah, not a lot of schoolwork. So, you know, he finds out that there's a boy involved, and you know, he goes and tells the others that this is what's happening.
The manager of their team, Hadowatomi's team, is really bad. And the manager of the team asks them, you know, do any of you play football? And they're, you know, whatever. They,
of course they do. They're all going to Princeton. Yeah, they all do. Harvard.
They all do. And they ask him if he plays, if he's the whole team. I was like, that's rude.
That's really rude. Yeah. And he just took it.
Like, yeah, he did. He was like, no, I'm the manager. Then they start talking about if they should join, if they should play. Yeah. And at the time, they all decide, you know, they shouldn't. They've got this job to watch her. So they shouldn't take it. But Manolito, I hope I'm saying that right. Anyways, he decides to join, like start. And they can tell that someone's playing, right? Because they're talking and they start hearing cheering. And people going crazy, and they're like, wait, that's our side. What's there to cheer for? You know? And
yeah,
they see that he's playing, and then they all jump in because the team's like, sure, bring in three random people that haven't practiced.
They, you have no proof. They go to the school. You don't know their names. They just, you just know that they play well and, you know, racking up the points and perhaps bringing in funding for the school, which is the important part there. And Clint is starting to fall for Connie.
Oh, yeah.
As time goes on, he's the one that's, you know, falling for her. Meanwhile, the others are trying to, well,
they've all kind of got their girl.
Yeah, Manuelito is trying to be very slick with one of the girls there, trying to guess what her lipstick is.
He's like, no, okay. Finally, the other two are like, one of them calls out what it is because they're like, this is stupid.
This is taking too long. It's getting out of hand. And Connie's also sort of, you know, falling for Clint's character. But at the same time has this boyfriend that comes to see her. Now, what's
But maybe they're not going steady.
Well, clearly something isn't happening, because when Clint is tells the other boys, I can't go on with this job, I'm going to resign because, you know, I've fallen for her, because they have communicated throughout, you know, she's like, I know you're following me, you know, and they see each other and they flirt. Now she writes a letter to her father to say that she has a boyfriend, and who does she tell to send the letter but the boyfriend that she
the other went one
to she's school saying, with.
Never mind.
I mean, four.
I was like, that's rude.
And he's just like, sure.
Okay.
So he's either married.
Or, you know, he's like, I can just pick from any of the girls here.
Right. And so, because he's a successful author. But that's what's funny, that, you know, she's writing a letter to her father to tell him all about this boyfriend that, or this guy that she likes, and he's ready to quit the job, and they want to tell each other who each other is. I'm really the daughter of so-and-so, and I'm really your bodyguard, supposed to be following you around. Your mind has to go with this story because she's falling for him, even though this guy's been following her around creepily for the last
stalker.
Very, very weird. Yes, and
it
she seems
like it. I mean, it's her body, you know, it's her bodyguard, but it doesn't, she doesn't know that.
She doesn't know that
at that point.
Yeah.
It's more stalkerish.
It's a stalker. He shows up at the most, you know, random of times. And she finds that endearing, I think. And what's interesting is after she kind of gathers all these times in her mind that they've seen each other, she goes, but we never kiss. The writing in this film or this play. And he's just walking around in a fog, you know.
Right. But I'm surprised by how quickly her father answers her. Was it a telegram that she sent? It might have been a telegram.
Maybe.
That she sent. Because it was like, there's no way that they had this conversation. And then all of a sudden.
Well, it sounds like it's not the father, but the.
Oh, yeah. It was
assistant the, or whoever mm-hmm, it is. It writes back for man. Him. Shorter to man. Explain, you know, this guy that you're telling me that you're going to start dating is actually your bodyguard along with the other three. So she's
a contract
and there's a note. Yeah. And so she's upset that he never told her. Again, I'm surprised that she's feeling betrayed, because you're not dating, you're not each other's boyfriend or girlfriend. It's just very, it's very cheesy and weird.
I mean, I don't know. Okay. So they've been flirting for like a whole semester, right? You've got to guess it's the end of the football season. They're wrapping up that semester probably. So they've been flirting all of the first semester. You know, she finally opened up and told him who she was, you know, and he didn't think at that time to return. You know, I think if he had said like, hey, this is who I am, like, I know, and I'm your bodyguard, then maybe it would have been different. But he chose to be silent and not say anything. And then she found out through a letter, right? So she told her dad, even though it might not have gone directly to her dad, she told him, I've got this boyfriend, and then now she looks stupid because you know,
he's like, well, that's your bodyguard, that's why he's around you all the time. So she's kind of like, wait, are you around me because you like me, are you around me because you're being paid to by my father? And so she's upset, you know, and essentially breaks up with him. And I say that with a question mark, because I don't even know if they're dating per se.
Makes them follow him.
Yes. She's like, okay, I'm quitting, then, you know, it's over. No, you're still working. I'm just gonna head back east, you know, and because she's over it, she's embarrassed. Now the whole thing that's playing in the background is still weird. The football thing is still in the background.
So it's, all of this happens the day before their big game. Yeah. Now, listen, this is where it gets like
weird. It gets really
weird. They have the sheriffs like chasing them down. They rope Monolito and then put him in jail, basically.
And there's a scene where the three of them are running away from the mob, an angry mob that's looking for them to what? To play. Which is why this movie bothers me a little bit, because I'm not sure where the sequence of events and how ridiculous this is. But
well, the people, they think that like they came to make them look really good, and then they're gonna pull out in the last second so they could bet against them or something. And
right, they think they were sabotaged. Yes,
which I was like, where did you get that idea from? But
from the writers of the scripts.
Of course. But it was weird that a mob chased them.
It's a very angry mob. Finds
the three of them, right?
Yes. Yeah. But it's a very angry mob. It looks like they're going to burn them at the stake if they don't play this game. It was very scary. And cut to another song where the girls are singing to pictures of these football players
crying
while they are locked up. And their crime is they didn't play the football game.
Yeah. Well, the three of them, they didn't know that they had found the other three, right? So they'd only found Manolito. So we're talking about who finds the three guys is...
Mm-hmm. Oh, Beverly Waverly.
Yeah, he's the one who finds the three of them. Right. Mm-hmm. And they ask, you know, for protection. And what does he do? He locks them up. Probably all too happy to.
It's very strange turn of events. It's all to force them to play this game,
right?
Or, you know, to I suppose funding is comes with it, which is what the motivation is,
right? And Clint's like, I'm not gonna play unless
that's right. He won't play unless, you know, Connie's character tells him to play.
So, and then she's like, I do.
I don't know.
And then she tells him to be not to be an all-American all his life.
So here's the thing. If you haven't seen this film and you're listening to us without having watched the film, you can't follow a darn thing we just said.
Of course, we say this now at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. So she goes, she kisses him because he thinks she's still upset about the whole I didn't tell you I was your bodyguard thing. And she kisses him. He wakes up and they go on to win the game.
You for know. Like 2 seconds, right?
Yes. But
like he doesn't wake up in the game until she says, run, Clint, run. So like, you don't know, you forgot how to play football? You got the girl. Now play the game.
I don't understand.
It's
a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot for you to believe.
But with all that being said, I really liked it. I mean, I like Gus. Have you ever watched that movie?
Which one?
Gus.
I don't think so.
It's this movie about this donkey who starts like kicking field goals. Mm. And he joins a football team and then people try to kidnap him because he's so good and helping them win. And
the donkey plays football?
Donkey plays football.
Oh, I gotta see this.
If I like that, then this I can be okay with.
Yeah. And, you know, towards the end, they celebrate with Desi showcasing, again, his, you know, conga drums. And so there's a lot of that incorporated in the film. I think our appreciation of the movie is, of course, because this is where those two met and, you know, history was made after that. So to me, it's just, I don't care how cheesy it is. It's a fantastic thing that happened in the universe because
it brought them together.
And if it weren't for this film, then we wouldn't even be having this podcast chat. Think about that. So it's just, it's a lot. In fact, as we're recording this, the Lucy Desi festival days or the Lucille Ball, you know, festival days are happening in Jamestown all the way up to her birthday on Saturday, you know, August 6th. This may or may not be out by then, but still, it's incredible that from this movie, from this particular happenstance in time, 70 years later, we're still doing this or talking about them. It's something else. Yeah, but it's a movie fit for the 40s.
But I mean, I liked it, so I would probably watch it again.
Okay, good.
I will watch it again.
So we'll be reviewing others. We'll be, you know, going down the list of films that I guess play a big role in the Lucille Ball Desi Arnaz story. And this is one of them. But yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Having a Ball Podcast.
You can find us everywhere. We are on Having a Ball Pod on Instagram, Having a Ball Pod on Twitter. We do have a TikTok. We don't use it as much, but we should. We are on Having a Ball Podcast on Facebook and Having a Ball Podcast on YouTube. And of course, if you want to send us any emails, comments, recommendations, havingaballpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you, guys. Bye. Bye-bye.